Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Miles. And I may as well tell you all that don't make it out to Wednesday night class, you may get lost pretty soon because Brother Miles is teaching us all new songs and we're learning new songs. So you need to come out on Wednesday night that you may share in not only learning of new songs but also for the Bible class itself. So if you have an opportunity, come out on Wednesday night to be with us. You sounded good this morning. And I know that God is good. And all the time, God is good. So let us thank God for being here once again this day. You don't have to worry about getting here because you're already here. But for those who are still on their way, we pray for them as well that they may make it here safely and securely. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, thank you once again, O Lord, for allowing us to be here. For we know without a doubt, without any kind of fear or without any kind of doubts in our mind, had you not called us this morning and awakened us, we would not be here, O Lord. For this we are eternally grateful. We thank you for your Son who died on yonder's cross, that we may have this opportunity to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the church here at Stony Island, the Stony Island Church of Christ. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would be with us, thus be with us in these services. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are here this morning. We thank you for our leaders this morning and their families, that they may continue to lead us, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for those who are here this morning in presence of mind, that they may hear the engrafted word, which is yours. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who may not be able to be with us this morning, but do plan on being with us at the next appointed time. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and pray for those that are sick this morning. The list is growing, O Lord, and you know how long the list has become here lately. We're praying for all of those on the list as well as the new ones that are being added. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your will might be done in their lives. We thank you this morning, Father, for those who are here, though, that they may be well endowed with the Holy Spirit this morning and that the Holy Spirit may be indwelling in us, that we may reach out and hear your word. And thank you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you this morning for all your blessings that you have given us. Thank you for our parents who are raising their children this morning, that the children may be raised up properly through your word and your will, O Lord. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Thank you for all of those brothers who have taken part in the services thus far. Thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask all of these blessings. Let us all say amen. This morning, from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse, through verse number 18. It's an old familiar passage that most of you may know by heart, but it's never too old to hear it all over again. So from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, we want to talk about suit up, for the battle is on. There is and there has been from the beginning of life a battle going on. The battle that I speak of is the war of God's righteousness versus the forces of evil of Satan. It is a spiritual war, and right now we are in the middle of this war, and it is ugly, I may as well tell you. People are being influenced by evil more so than by righteousness these days. The good part is that God is aware of it all. He knows when, he knows where, and he knows how to put it to rest, and I guarantee you he shall one day. This battle is being fought from within as well as without. So this morning, if we'll just look at a couple of arenas, or several arenas where we are in battle. Most people are proud of living in this country. They're proud of being called an American, and they're proud of living here in America. Some are risking life and limb to get here. Every day, some are intent on destroying it as well. There are those who would destroy what we have in this country. The biggest stage in which this battle, the war rages, is right here in this, the free world known as America. America is at war, church. This country is a threat to the darkness of Satan. And somebody may ask the question, well, why? One of the main reasons is because we enjoy the freedom of religion. The people of our nation are free to read their Bibles anywhere and at any time. We can meet at church every Lord's Day or any time we choose, and we have the right to worship Him. Look at verse number 10, if you will, of the text of Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Our text, this gives us some insight into to those who may be weak and need encouragement. And it tells us to be strong. It is somewhat of a marching order. It tells us to apply ourselves as soldiers of the cross. Once again, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." God is in the thick of all of us, of all of this battle, and God knows all about it. From reading the text, when we look at the text, it lets us to know that God has the power and the might to deliver us from whatever battles we may be facing. None of us here today are without battles. We're either in our battles, or we're just about to enter into our battles, or we just came out of our battle. But the text tells us to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Your battle may not yet be in its fullness, but just wait a minute and it shall intensify. But when we are children of God, we should have learned by now to call out to Him. And verse number 10 speaks of that, the power of His might. We can't win the battle by ourselves. And I don't mean, when I say the power of His might, I don't mean physically strong. I mean the strength instead that we must be strong in our Christian walk. We must learn to walk the way of God. We must learn to live the way of God. We must be strong in our walk with God. Satan is rampant, and he's rushing into this world with drugs, and he's running this world, I should say, with drugs, alcohol, and sin. Ruining this world with drugs, alcohol, and sin. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 26 in the verses number 41 and following, where Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Be prayerful and be watchful that we have not become part of the estimated 28 million people in this country who take illegal drugs. Beware that God is protecting us. If we just live right and serve Him right, He will protect us. Satan is trying to destroy this country through evilness, such as murder and other crimes. Even our young children are not immune from the things that are going on in Satan's arsenal. Satan has a very powerful weapon that he uses against people. Satan is very powerful, and if you're not very careful, he will reach you. Politically speaking, many of our politicians have made laws or are in the process of making laws that are not good for those who are trying to live right. And that's how Satan works against righteousness. Satan works against righteousness by influencing people. And you know what? If you're not strong in the Lord, and that's what verse 10 tells us, if you're not strong in the Lord, He will capture you. He shall do His best to capture you. He's always trying to capture us. He's always trying to shoot at the wiles of the devil toward us. Look at verse number 11, where the Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil." Now this text lets us to know that there are problems, there can be problems even in our homes. This text is good for parents in verse number 11 there. It tells us we have got to suit up in the whole armor of God that we might impart the same to our children. The same evilness that is in at work in the world is at work in our homes as well. Parents, through no fault of their own, have had their authority over their children diluted. The laws in many states and municipalities are designed to protect the rights of children over the parental responsibilities of parents. But I remember somewhere one day reading, and when I opened my Bible, the way it said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Now, I'm not telling anyone to disobey the laws of the land, because as good citizens, we are supposed to obey the laws. But if these laws conflict with God's law, then we must accept God's law if we're Christians. This great law, this great land that we live in, we should not disobey the laws that have been made to run this land. This text tells us in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6 that while our children are at those impressionable ages in this life, we need to make sure we are and are still training them in the ways of righteousness to keep them from the ravages of sin. So as the text tells us, train them up in the way they should go. Train them up. Not the way that they would go, but that the way they should go. And you know something? That's no guarantee that even though you've trained them up, that they're not going to leave the training that you have given them. So many times parents have asked themselves the question when their children have went wrong. They have asked themselves the question, where did I go wrong? Well, if you train them up like the Bible teaches us, you didn't go wrong. It's just our children have grown up and they decided to make a decision on their own that they're going to do what they do and do what they did if they are in trouble. We all know that even with prayer and the proper training, our children, as they age, they began to think for themselves and they began to say, well, I remember what Mama and Daddy tried to teach me or what they did teach me, but now I'm on my own and I've got to make my own decisions. And sometimes those decisions are not good decisions. Sometimes those decisions go against what the parents taught them. We can feel confident knowing that if we taught them right, look what the verse number 11 says again. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Putting on the whole armor of God means we have defenses to battle the temptations of the devil. And I might as well tell you, our battle is ongoing, and Satan will spare no stops to win his war. The battle is on, church, and the battle is not going to stop real soon. Therefore, we too must be prepared. In this country where we live our daily lives, as well as in our homes. He does not stop there, though. The Satan does not stop in our homes or in this country. There's war, we are at battle in our churches as well. Our churches are at war. And when you think about it, church, some church folk see their only option when things get a little bit tacky or things began to stir a little bit. Some see their only option as surrender. Especially when we see how some of our churches are submitting to pressures today. They are going to places where the church has never been before. Bringing in musical instruments. Altering the names of the church. And some have even submitted to other practices that are not in the Bible, in Bible teaching. But when you notice verse number 12 of the text, the Bible said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to be suited up, for the war is definitely on, church. We need to be suited up because the war is not going anywhere. It's going to be an ongoing battle. And I tell you something. We need the church more today than we have ever needed the church. Because so many people are hurting and suffering today. So many people are in trouble today. And when I say in trouble, I don't mean that they're having necessarily legal problems. I mean that we're just in trouble. Our homes are being wrecked. I mean, there are signs in places now where you can get a divorce in one day. Divorce, married today and divorce tomorrow. And I tell you something, church. A house that's in a divorce action is not a pleasant house to be in. I tell you something, church. A church where there is a separation is not a church that's a place to necessarily stand and stick your ground. You ought to stand and stick your ground, but you have to be careful that you learn to stand on the right side of the Lord. We got to be suited up for war because we are battling the power of darkness. Not against flesh and blood or human enemies. The principalities and powers and rulers, they are ready because they are many. They can even be, they are even unseen. They are trying to help us out of and away from heaven. Satan uses lies and discouragement against some weak church folk. And they in turn get overburdened and they begin to find fault with everyone but themselves. It ain't my fault, it's his fault. It ain't my fault, it's their fault. They began to find everything wrong with everybody else except this. You know, you can point a finger at somebody, but sometimes you need to turn that finger around and point it right back at your own self. Sometimes the biggest problem in your life is you. Sometimes when I get myself into situations and I look at myself and I go to the mirror sometime and I ask myself, is this your fault? Do you need to be concerned about yourself before you're concerned about others? If I can't straighten me up, how can I straighten others up? When they get overburdened, church folks sometimes do get overburdened too. When they get overburdened, they began to find this fault with everybody but themselves. They began to accept the fact that I can't ever be wrong. They began to say that it's always somebody else's fault. It's never, ever, ever my fault. But I know something a little bit about that, if I can tell you this morning. That's why the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil days, according to verse number 13. In verse number 12 of Romans chapter 13, it says, let us walk honestly as in the days. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness. How can we be suited up? Well, go to verse number 14 of our text today. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at what the Bible is telling us. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, you can't go any place without the truth. If you go any place, you're going somewhere under the auspices of a lie. So when you think about it, church, we need to make sure that the truth is what we're dealing with when we're dealing with the church folk. We need to learn, and especially we need to learn verse number 18. Verse number 18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You got to pray. You can't live in this world and be a Christian without ever praying. If you rely on everybody else to pray for you, when do you begin to pray? When do you pray? You got to sometimes pray for yourself. You know, a Christian, I always say, a Christian without a prayer is not a Christian at all. Because prayer is what we need to reach God. And if you're not reaching God or not calling out to God, then how can you be a real Christian? Put on the whole armor of God, and especially in verse number 18 there about prayer. Christians should never be in a position that they don't pray, that they stop praying. Praying always is what the Bible says. Not only when you think you need to pray, but even when you don't think you need to pray, you need to be praying. And if you say to yourself, well, I'm prayed up today. I prayed so much yesterday, I don't need to pray for today. You need to pray every day. Every day that you set foot out of your bed, you need to pray. And you need to pray before you put your feet in that bed. Some say, I don't need to pray because I prayed enough. Some say, I don't need to pray because I don't think God is hearing my prayer. Well, do you want to take that chance? Do you want to take the chance that God is not hearing you? I'll tell you something. Prayer is always good. Prayer is always right. Praying always according to the text. I don't need to pray because I prayed enough already. What kind of answer is that? If you get up this morning, you need to pray for the morning. Well, don't say, and you don't need to say that I prayed yet last night for the morning. Pray again this morning. Pray for yesterday. And if you don't think you have anything to pray for, pray because you have an opportunity to pray. And if you don't think there's nothing to pray for, pray that you might see tomorrow. Pray that you might see tomorrow. There's always something for us to pray for and about. We must put on the whole armor of God that we may stand for our convictions. Go tell somebody about the truth of Jesus Christ and His love. Tell them how that Jesus died and lived so that we might have eternal life. The battle that we are in is a lifetime battle. And we must be prepared. We must be ready to stand up for Jesus because we are His. And most importantly, we must be soldiers. As soldiers, we must suit up for the battle. That means that all the whole armor of God must be utilized. Let's go back to the whole armor of God, if you will. Starting in, once again, in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you know we talk about the Word of God quite often. That's your Bible. That's taking the Word of God with you. Now, you can have it in your head. Some folk like to put it on their tablets and whatnot today. But just take the Word of God in your heart with you. That's the main point of this text. Take the Word of God with you. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So that means everybody who calls themselves a Christian, for all those who call themselves saints of God, you've got to have the Word of God with you. You know, you never know when you're going to meet somebody out on the street who may be in need of hearing the Word of God. And if you ride the bus or the train or even in your car, you just might park somewhere and get out of your car and somebody is there asking you for this question or that question and you have an opportunity to present the Word of God to them. Now, I don't mean that you're supposed to stand there and give them a long, drawn-out revival, but at least tell them about the love of God, how that God loved you, how that God died for us. And came back to life, resurrected Himself and came back to life. And how that He still lives today. And then, when we say we are all covered up from head to toe or head to feet, we are prepared then for the battle. Thank God for His whole armor.
Thank God that every piece of the armor that God told us about, and that Paul wrote about in this book here, tells us about those pieces of armor. Having your loins girt about with the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet, so that's your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. Now I suggest to you that that person, when they do that, they're dressed from here down to here. And you're ready to fight, to do battle with Satan. And if you leave home, make sure you got the Word of God in your heart. And if you can't have it in your heart, then have it with you available that you can reach for it. And then I say to all of us, this battle that's going on, this battle is never ever going to be won without the Word of God. And we've got to have the Word of God at all times. Now I suggest to you this morning that as we are Christians here, and that the Word of God should be in our heart, and that we should know how to expound on the Word of God. Now, you may not be able to win a soul over, but at least if you get them interested enough, you can say, I'll get back to you. You can say that I got somebody I know that can help you even more than me. But you never want to be without the Word of God. So this morning, I thank God this morning for the whole armor. When we put on the whole armor of God, we are set for battle. When we are set for battle, we can understand a little bit better how the world operates. We can understand where we don't want to be in this life. We can understand where we want to be in this life and get to where we need to be. The Word of God is very powerful, quick and powerful as a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways, in other words. And when I tell you, church, that God is good, believe me, God is very good. God is, some have said, God is even awesome. God is good because you know what? When I woke up this morning, just like you, when you woke up this morning, the first thing came to my mind was a thank you. Thank you because when I laid down last night, I didn't know whether I was going to get up or not. When I lay down on last night, I didn't know if that was my last night. And I'll tell you something. I won't tell you what it is, but there's a certain fear that Brother Carter has when he sleeps at night. But it's not a fear like I fear something. It's a fear that's inside of me. And the only way that I can get rid of this fear is to go to God in prayer. Now, I think about the goodness of God. And I think about that particular text that we used this morning about dressing up and suited up for battle. I think about that without God, none of us are nothing. Without God, we wouldn't be here. Without God, we can't go on. That's why you need to dress up, suit up in the whole armor of God. Every piece of equipment that text told you about serves a purpose. Every single piece that's mentioned in that text is designed for a specific application. But we should dress up and suit up in all of it so that we can be prepared to fight Satan and his forces. And I know there are a lot of temptations out here today. There are a lot of things that can sway a Christian. And you know what? As a matter of fact, you don't even have to leave your house anymore to be tempted. You can be tempted by sitting up, watching TV, reading the newspaper even, or listening to the radio. There's all kinds of stuff out there today. And when you think about it, the battle is being waged on all fronts. Husbands are battling with wives. Wives are battling with husbands. And children are battling with parents. You've seen the news. You know how things are. You know what's going on in this world. You know how the world is turning. You also know what we need to do in order to survive what's going on. And the only way that we can survive is to have God on our side. And if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. You need to unite yourself with someone who can be in battle for you. You need to unite yourself with someone who can help you get through these battles. Because the battles just keep coming. They just keep on coming. You know, there was a time when you could, and I know my time is up, there was a time when you get mail in your mailbox, you didn't want to do anything with it, you throw it out. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. You've got to be careful, for people are calling you in your homes and telling you how great things are, and they want you to join this or be a part of this or that. That's an identity scam. There are things that are so easily tempting to us. Folk call you and tell you, I'll send you X amount of dollars if you just send me back this amount. And being greedy folk like many of us are, we fall for it. That's an identity scam. There are so many things that tempt us in the world today that we need to be very careful. We need to be very, very careful. They tell me now that they got a system where they don't even need to touch your credit card. If you got a wallet in your back pocket or in your purse, they can walk by you and scan that these days and get all your credit card information. When you go to a restaurant and you give them your credit card, watch them that they bring you the right card back. I'm just telling you some of the things that the devil is evil, the evil thinking and the evil ways of Satan. Why we need to be dressed up. We need to be able to call upon the Lord our God when we get in trouble. And when you ask God before you go in this restaurant, Lord, protect me. Protect me, not only let the food be righteous, be good food for me, but let me also be righteous and that I may not be caught up in some kind of scam or some kind of scheme. You ask God to help you. You always pray and ask God to help you. Praying always. Always pray. Pray about everything. If you don't know which shoe to wear, this is a little overboard, but pray about which color shoe you ought to put on. If you put on the red one, somebody's going to laugh at you. If you put on the black ones, you'll be fine. But just pray about everything. In all things, pray and ask and go to God. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you are a member and you've fallen astray, or you've fallen off the path, ask God to forgive you and bring you back, and then come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may gather your strength back and that you may live a godly life. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.